This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are Friday's closing prices from the Chicago Board of Trade. March corn was 4.23 and a half, up 3. May corn, 4.31 and 3 quarters, up 2 and 3 quarters. July corn, 4.38 and 3 quarters, up 3. January soybeans were 12.89 and a quarter, up 2 and a quarter. March soybeans, 12.71 and a quarter, up 1 and a quarter. May soybeans, 12.58 and a quarter, up 1. March wheat was 6.05 and 3 quarters, up 8 and 3 quarters. May wheat, 6.11 and a quarter, up 7 and a half. July wheat, 6.14 and a half, up 6 and a quarter. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. I'm Bob Reese, and this is Friday's report of the grain prices and trends prepared by the USDA and the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were mixed on Friday afternoon. Soybeans inched higher on weekly export sales, which was higher than the traders were expecting. Technical trading strengthened wheat prices, and corn was carried higher by the strength of soybeans and wheat. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 3 to 10 cents higher at 407 to 420. Soybeans were steady to a penny higher at 1252 to 1271. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 2 to 7 cents higher at 398 to 423, and soybean bids were 3 cents lower at 1271 to 1292. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 2 to 10 cents higher at 411 to 434, and soybean bids were steady to 10 cents lower at 1271 to 1320. Wheat bids were 8 to 9 cents higher at 590 to 634. Now for the Illinois soybean cash soybean bids, they were a penny higher at 1281 to 1296, basis was steady to 10 at 10 to 25 over the March. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at 457.10 to 474.10, and that was up $3.30, with the basis at 50 to 67 over the March. Illinois corn processors cash corn bids were 3 to 8 cents higher at 424 to 436. With the basis option to 12 over the March. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted their producer corn bids 3 cents higher at 411 to 418, with the basis steady at 6 to 13 under the March. Soybeans ended 2 to 4 cents lower at 1291 to 1301, with the basis down 4 to 6 cents at 2 to 12 over the January. New wheat prices were 6 cents higher at 590 to 598, with the basis steady at 17 to 25 under the July. East St. Louis Barge Loading Terminal Elevators placed their producer corn bids at 1 to 3 cents higher at 442 to 444, and these elevators raised their soybean prices 2 to 3 cents with quotations of 1331 to 1332. Soft wheat closed 9 cents higher at 640 to 641. And Milo ended the day mixed at 468 to 469. Now on to contract bids to producers for new crop delivery. Starting in the northern and western part of the state, corn ranged from 407 to 420. Soybeans were 1079 to 1105. In the central part of the state, corn ranged from 412 to 427. And soybeans were 1090 to 1115. In the southern part of the state, corn ranged from 406 to 428, and soybeans were 1095 to 1129. Wheat ranged from 571 to 585. And that concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Friday's closing prices from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. February live cattle were $136.30, up 67 cents. April live cattle, $136.57, up 77 cents. June live cattle, $130.05, up 37 cents. January feeder cattle were 167.62, up 62 cents. March feeder cattle, 168.10, up $1.10. April feeder cattle, 168.95, up 72 cents. February lean hogs were 86.67, down 40 cents. April lean hogs, 91.57, down 22 cents. May lean hogs, 98.70, down 30 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday the 3rd's afternoon livestock report. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 56 cents lower in the range of 73.65 to 77.91, with the weighted average carcass price of 76.28. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows are trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 60 to 68, 4 to 5 weights 62 to 72, 5 to 550 weights 68 to 73, and 550 and up 69 to 74. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging in price from $54 up to $59. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 15,530, and in the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at 134 to 140, and on a dress basis 215 to 219. Heifers on a live basis traded at 139, and on a dress basis at 218 to 220. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 384 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $82.79, and that was $1.21 lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses were $202.41, that was $1.86 higher, with select carcasses at $197.38, and that was $1.33 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 123,000. That compared to 118,000 last week and 128,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 420,000. That compares to 433,000 last week and 423,000 for a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. January corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.22. February corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.28. January corn delivered to Scottville, $4.13. February corn delivered to Scottville, $4.19. January beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville, $13.01. February beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville, $12.92. January wheat delivered to Scottville, $6.05. Once again, those pre-opening prices are corn at Greenfield is $4.22, corn at Scottville is $4.13, beans at Greenfield or Scottville are $13.01, and wheat at Scottville is $6.05. It is now mandatory, with some exceptions, for citizens in the U.S. to carry health insurance. Those in the nation's workforce covered by plans offered through their employers are probably all good, but others have some decisions to make, says Mark Lavelle from the University of Illinois.
The folks that are going to have the most difficulty are the ones that have to go to the exchange to get coverage for themselves in order to fulfill that individual mandate, which is the requirement effective 1 January 2014, requiring everybody to have coverage in place for themselves that meets those minimum requirements or face a potential penalty when they file their return.
More on the penalty in a moment. Let's first deal with who needs to sign up using the healthcare exchanges. Those that already have a healthcare plan, one not offered through an employer but rather purchased from an insurance company, may need to sign up. Then again, maybe not.
There are some plans that will have grandfathered status. The Affordable Care Act has a whole section on grandfathered plans. It's good to check with your insurance carrier to determine and confirm that the plan does qualify for grandfathered status. If it does, the real key are the record-keeping requirements, the grandfathered plans that are able to be maintained moving forward are going to have some pretty rigorous record-keeping requirements.
This, thinks Lavelle, is because the plans will be phased, pushed out of the system over time. So today, the health care insurance that some individuals already have may qualify. Again, check with the insurance agent. However, it appears that most self-employed folks, such as farmers, will need to go to one of the health care exchanges, key in all of the information, and then start the sign-up process. There are 9 exceptions to this rule.
For example, if they can't obtain affordable coverage, and what that means under the Affordable Care Act, if they're going to be required to spend more than 8% of their household income, that's generally income of everybody in the household, including perhaps older children that work, if they have to spend more than 8% of that household income amount for coverage, they may qualify for an exemption. There is also an exemption for hardship. There are a number of different grounds. And again, as they get into that website, there should be a place for them to apply for any number of these exemptions that they think they may qualify for, including the hardship one.
The website should guide folks through the process of whether or not they must sign up and if they're eligible for any assistance. The insurance plans are set up mostly in a tiered bronze, silver, and gold set of coverage levels. Congressman Rodney Davis was in the station last week. He gave an update on how the 2013 year went and what he expects from 2014. We also touched on the Farm Bill and WERDA.
Well, 2013 governmentally went a little slower than what I anticipated. Very happy to be the first freshman member of Congress who passed a bill that was signed into law. But we got a lot more to do, and we've got to figure out a way to continue to reduce our deficits. We've got to work together in this divided government to put good policies in place that are going to save taxpayers billions over the next decade and into the next generation. Because when my time is done in Congress, I don't want my kids and my grandkids to come to me one day and say, "Dad, Grandpa, I thought you fixed this when you were there." And we have to look at that. My daughter's 16, and every time I cast a vote, I think of her and the other kids that are in school all throughout this district. I think of my 13-year-old twin boys, and I know that every decision I make is going to have an impact on their future. And we have to make sure that we spend money in this country much more wisely than has been done over previous generations. You know, we in the House, we did pass 163 bills, many of them good pieces of legislation that were waiting for the Senate to take up. So the House passed a lot of pieces of legislation, and I think we could have some good bipartisan laws now if the Senate would have put those up for a vote. A couple of the bills that I think we're going to be able to find some common ground on, as you say, are the Farm Bill and the WERDA Bill. I'm on both of those conference committees. I was disappointed when we extended the Farm Bill for another 30 days. I'd rather stayed in Washington an extra week to finish it. Because another deadline in Washington means they'll probably go up to it. But I'm optimistic that we will be able to get some movement the first week of January when we're back in Washington, get through some of our differences on the conference committee and put that framework out for the public consumption and pass that bill.
Again, that was Congressman Rodney Davis. Growers are looking ahead at what to plant this spring, and analysts are wondering whether more soybean acres will be planted or if it will be more corn. U.S. Department of Agriculture Chief Economist Joe Glauber thinks the market is trying to coax out more soybeans.
You see corn prices off 36%, but soybean prices only off a little less than 15%. So soybeans, I think, look more attractive right now just in terms of looking at planting decisions. Certainly, we know that we're seeing that in South America with more beans being planted, less corn being planted in Brazil.
Glauber says it's still too early to tell because a lot can change between now and when growers have to make their planting decisions. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.